who the Israel of God is now. How many? Honey, go up a little bit. We'll just take in. Go up about 4 or 5 verses. Go up to 10. Go up to verse 10 and we'll give you a little background here. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You see how large a letter I've written unto you with mine own hand. And he's talking to the church of Galatia. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised only, lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have their circumcision that they may glory in the flesh. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Up now at that very point when Paul was dealing with the church, at that time, this is, you have to realize, this is the beginning of the New Covenant church, the New Testament church, where Jesus became the fulfillment of the old, and now he became the price paid for sin. So they no longer had to go through the rituals of sacrifice. But they still had this this covenant made with Abraham. How many love to be, I'm of the seed of Abraham. Why? Because God cut a covenant with them and he put a mark on them. And the mark he put on them was on all male flesh, that they be circumcised. So that no matter what you might say, when you were 8 days old, you were circumcised. If you were of the Israel of God. And so Paul here's making some definitions in which you can understand, because it'll take you time to actually consume this, but they boasted in that they were Israelites and they were under the covenant of God's promise, covenant with promise. And Jesus came and fulfilled that covenant. And so Paul here, hallelujah, has to deal with this in the church. Because a lot of us will say, well, I've been asked the Lord Jesus in my heart. And we know this is all important. This is all this we have to do. But Paul is actually taking the church now into a place where they become gifted people of God. They know who they are as sons of God. And now they're beginning to learn how to act like them. There is a difference. And so this is what he had to deal with. And then give me 15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but what? But a new creation. And let's just go on with one more. For in Christ Jesus, okay, for as many as walk according to the rule of peace, according to the rule of peace be unto them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. And so we see here, just give me one more. You got one more verse? For henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul here is actually making himself an example of being an Israelite. That's what he was. He had the mark in the flesh. He's a Hebrew of Hebrews. And yet, he was bringing in a greater dimension of God's provision for Israel, but now he was extending it to the whole earth. Don't you think he didn't have problems with his theological friends? Because he did. But he had a burden on him. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you what, don't be afraid of a burden. Don't be afraid of a burden. Give birth to it. How many of us get all stressed out because of something? How many of you have you had God begin to speak to you and then you just kind of got busy in that and kind of forgot it? Now, I'm talking about anything. I'm talking about not just words. I'm talking about writing. I'm talking about anything that might have communication involved in it. Music. All kinds of stuff that communicates. And you have a burden, and it won't leave you. See, a burden, just it just keeps gnawing on you. And we can suppress it, can't we? I'm not. Just get easy with me. I'm encouraging you. Not condemning you. Let's let it begin to develop into what God has called it to be in us. Let's take the burden. And you know what I mean by that? Let's begin to search and research and apply ourselves and go after it and work on it. And in that, you get crazy discouraged sometimes because you don't have all the parts yet. But you don't until you're working on it. Until you go beyond where you are. When you go beyond where you are and you're in need and you have to collect these things and get all these things in their proper order and proper behavior, then you begin to see something come together that God has purposed for you to give forth. Come on. Is this good? Say amen. Hallelujah. Get excited. See, Danny, I don't want any more to do. With this burden, what it does do is you're going to give birth to something. And the birthing of it, hallelujah, yeah, once it's birthed and the anointing comes because of your diligence, it touches people all over. You never see, never know, or whatever. Hallelujah. That gives them the courage they never had before. Gives them the understanding they never had before and may never have any other way of getting it. That's when we're taking responsibility of the earth. You can only change what you can change, but I guarantee you, what you do will make a difference in the earth and in eternity. I guarantee it. Hallelujah. Okay, honey? Go back to the slide and hallelujah. 1 Peter 2. Larry's going to like this. 5-9. Hallelujah. He had this on his notes last time. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God, buyer in Jesus Christ. Whereunto also it is contained in the scriptures. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. How many have ever built anything? I know I've said this before, but how many have ever built a cake or anything else? Okay, building or anything. If you're an architect or an engineer of sorts, there are going to be laws that you have to abide by, or it's not going to work. You can have all the properties together. See, that's what this in Christ is. That's what this grace is. It's the instructions that he gives us that now brings product to purpose, brings product to development in our lives, in what we do. Man, I want you to know that you're in Christ and that you're enjoying God if you're eating lunch in a restaurant. If the restaurant's got a bar in it. Or was outside in front of a whole bunch of other people that you don't know. Hallelujah. This indwelling Christ is not hindered by surroundings. And He wants you to enjoy Him. He wants in every facet, every particle of your brain, every particle of your emotion, every particle of your whole life. Hallelujah. He wants to become the part that He wants to become the substance that's eternal. Mighty God. You're hearing what the Lord's saying here. Glory to God. This is what Paul was doing. That our character was being changed to not a character of flesh and blood, but a character of God, where God would do these things and enjoy them. And you wouldn't be able to dictate to Him how He was going to enjoy them. But if your heart was right, if these properties of God are working inside of you, glory to God, they work all around. They actually impregnate many things and change and make a difference. Absolutely. You must believe this. This Christian thing is not just going to church and going to heaven. It's finding out that God that's in the heavens, that same God, dwells within you. And He's interested in every particle of everything you think, everything you do, every bit of passion that you might have. Hallelujah. And He's not condemning you for it, but He wants to give you an ingredient that will help you purify it to the point where it now is acceptable forever. Jesus. Where you cannot be destroyed. Not even death itself. In the body. Cannot separate you. From the love of God. Ooh. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We got to go through 10, right? Okay, let's go. Hallelujah. Unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builder disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Now this isn't the chief cornerstone, now let's see, that's on top of you. You see, eventually that will be the goal of the body of Christ. But in every individual, He's the chief cornerstone, or the building mark, or the mark to shoot for, to start your building. You look to Him. It's out. It's from that point of origination that you build from. Whether it doesn't make any difference what shape it's of. What difference is? This is the mark in which you establish your building. Jesus is the mark. Hallelujah. And now we're talking about building of character, building of how we do things, building of what we say, building of how we care. Hallelujah. Okay, next one. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were pointed. Now, and we're not going to spend any time on that, but what do you think that means? Disobedient. How many of us have been disobedient? All of us. Okay. Now, as we're disobedient, what happens? We do what we want to do. And what happens then? You're going to reap your result. You're going to reap your result. Now, it's not in condemnation that we're speaking this, but in wisdom. Right? So, what is the remedy? To be obedient. Just do it. Well, I don't understand. I don't feel like it. And nobody, sister, do isn't doing nothing over there. She's doing what I'm doing. It ain't nothing happening to her. Well, you don't understand. My neighbor, he can do it and get away with it. Can't be that bad. I'm going to tell you something. This is the cleverness of a carnal man. But the truth is, God probably hasn't spoke to either one of them. Do what you got to do. See, that's meddling. When you try to compare yourself with another person, when God's dealing with you on a God person level, and as He is, you need to listen to what He's saying, what He quickens, what He makes alive to you, and you need to go after it till you got it. And it's yours. Now, you may do it totally different than me. Doesn't make any difference. It's yours. Because you see, you can only do what you know to do. That's where a body comes in. And we begin to talk without prejudice, without trying to say, well, if you do it this way, maybe not, maybe not. Maybe you haven't come nowhere near where you could even... You see, I don't even know what he's talking about. I don't know what she's talking about. See, beloved, are we getting this? As God's dealing with us, as all individuals, and it's going to be uniquely different. I'll tell you what, I've had to change occupations more than once, and they've all been trade occupations. In the midst of that, everybody does things different. They use different mechanics. They use different methods. They demand different things. If you're going to work with them, you have to come to where they are. Even if you're not, you're going to have to add to yourself now. You're going to have to be diligent to add to yourself if you want to be a part. If we're going to be a part of the body of Christ, what are we going to have to do? What did we just say here? His grace gives us the ability to have the faith of operation. Faith without works is not faith. It doesn't work. So you got to be willing to put this word to work, becoming faith. And now, as we do, He begins to work in us and through us, and He works out of us those things that are not necessary. And when God does it, I don't want to do it to you. I just want you to catch what you can catch from God and begin to be obedient and responsible to God for what He's speaking to you. And then I get so excited because being a dad, I see my kids grow. And you guys are growing like crazy. And I'm not just talking about... I'm talking about spiritually. I see the gifts of God becoming keener and keener and keener in the body of Christ. Two more verses in this one. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then I'm going to... stop talking so much. Be ye as chosen generation, royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you. Now you see how what He's done? He's called you from where? Out of darkness into His marvelous light. One more, honey. which in times past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which has not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Now you see what's happening here? Now one thing about mercy is it is so connected to the laws of God. God will, he will make allowances for you, but you can't continue to keep doing what he's given you mercy not to do. Somebody say amen. Grace and mercy works together. His grace actually gives you, through His Word and now through instruction, the ability to come and apprehend it and come forth and begin to walk in it. And now, as that happens, glory to God, His mercy is still going before you. It is still giving you the option to continue to improve. But, see, I got to tell you this. His mercy is higher than His law, but it's not apart from His law. Nobody wants to hear that too much. But I'll tell you what I think. Are you thankful that they have laws in this country? How'd you like to live without law? Everybody a law unto himself. You know what you need to read? Come very familiar with? The book of Judges. And see what happened after they received the law. You might be surprised. Now that we've received the Spirit of grace, I'm going to quit. Oh, Lord Jesus. Are you happy?
Yes.
Am I encouraging you?
Yes.
I want to encourage you. Hallelujah.